6:31 WKTY La Crosse, 96.7 FM, 580 AM. Dave Carney back here with you. You're listening to the WKTY Morning Show. Hope you guys and gals are off to a good start and staying warm this morning. Our high temperature going to reach just 23 degrees today. Now, coming up this evening, WKTY has more Bucks basketball. The Bucks will be taking on the Pistons. Milwaukee has been having some real easy work here with the Pistons as they have won 12 games in a row against Detroit. And calling the game tonight on WKTY is the new radio play-by-play voice of our Milwaukee Bucks, taking over for the legendary Ted Davis. His name is Dave Kane. Dave, top of the morning. I'm really excited to have you on the program today. How you doing, bud?
Hey, I can't complain. Yeah, things are good. You know, getting a chance to follow the, it's almost like traveling with the Beatles a little bit with this Bucks team these days. So, yeah, no, it's been awesome. So, yeah, happy to be with you. Thanks for having me on.
Well, Dave, it's our pleasure, and we've been looking forward to talking to you for some time as the new play-by-play voice for the Bucks. We're listening to you on a fairly regular basis, Dave, and I think for the most part, our listeners, our audience members have just been delighted that somebody of your skill and your vocal abilities, if I can just be honest about it, has taken over for Ted Davis, who had been such a part of Milwaukee Bucks basketball on the radio anyways for so long. So, Dave, before we get into some Bucks discussion, because I've got a lot of specific Bucks questions, would you do us a favor and sort of give our audience a career retrospective of Dave Kane? What were you doing before, Dave, and how was it that you came to be the voice of the Milwaukee Bucks?
Yeah, sure. So, it depends how far back you want to go. Well, I was born in Colorado Springs on a snowy day. No, I cut my chops, I guess you could say, I started in college. I went to the University of Kansas, so I did get a chance to call Kansas basketball as a student, which was pretty cool. So, you know, that was one of those things at Allen Fieldhouse, you kind of pinch yourself. But candidly, my whole career has been kind of pinching myself throughout at various junctures. Now, I did pay my dues doing some small college stuff for a number of years and some high school ball in both Colorado and East Texas and Central Texas. I did Sam Houston State, Texas Lutheran, and then moved across the country up to Vermont. So this is not the first time I've been in cold weather. I was there for about 2 years doing the University of Vermont and their minor league baseball broadcasts up there with the Mighty Lake Monsters, which I'm sure your fans are familiar with.
Oh, but, yes.
And then, right. And so, so from that point, for about 2 years there, and then I got an opportunity to go to the University of Virginia, which is where I've been for the last 13 years, and had some really great opportunities there to be a part of some pretty special teams, and notably the basketball side of things, but even the football side. But working, I got to Virginia a year before Tony Bennett did. So for 12 of my 13 years, I worked with Tony Bennett, and that was an experience that I'll never take for granted. I mean, somebody who almost became a mentor to me in general terms. I mean, just everything you hear about this guy is the real deal. A Wisconsin guy, obviously, with deep roots around here, but got to call a national championship for them. So I figured, you know what? Why not try to call a world championship? As the Bucks thing presented itself, and all of a sudden, it was kind of out of nowhere where this job ultimately presented in September to me. And I was in the middle of football season with the University of Virginia. I think it was around the 20th or so September. So it came together really late, which put me kind of here trying to get the plane off the ground with about not much in the way of runway.
Wow.
So we just had to get it done. But it's been an adventure, and it's been a new adventure that I was kind of looking for in my life, just something, you know, to kind of shake things up and stretch my wings a little bit. So it's definitely delivered. And again, the opportunity to call games for a team and a franchise that's where this Bucks team is a pretty fortunate set of circumstances, to be sure.
Dave, I can only imagine that it has to be the highlight of a career so far. And if you're just tuning in, Dave Kane is joining the program. He is our voice of the Milwaukee Bucks on WKTY this evening, 6:30 pregame coverage and 7 o'clock tip. The Bucks will be taking on the Detroit Pistons at the Fiserv Forum. Dave, let's talk some Bucks basketball, some ups and downs of the season. The Milwaukee Bucks have had some ups, they've had some downs, mostly up. Six games is their current winning streak, two in a row Thursday night, beating the Magic 136-118 Saturday, following up a great call by you guys on the radio, 136-113 against the Pelicans. You know, the season's nearly halfway concluded, Dave, and like I've mentioned, there's been some downs, but this has been a mostly up season, third right now in the Eastern Conference for the Bucks. When you've looked at some of the times in which the Bucks have struggled, Dave, what has been that thing, if there has been one thing, that has stood out to you and you can point to and say, that's the reason the Bucks have struggled?
Well, I don't know that it's necessarily been like that because of the fact that I think when they've struggled, it's because they haven't had personnel.
Right.
And that's been the big key. And of course, the Bucs aren't alone in that regard. But for so much of this season, the Bucs were the number two team in man games down. So, in other words, players that have been unavailable in terms of actual number, they'd trailed only Orlando for a good chunk of this year. Now, God bless the Orlando Magic, because you wouldn't wish what's happened to them on your worst enemy. But, like, that's a team that was struggling anyway, and then they've had a ton of injuries and now COVID on top of it. So I don't know what bad karma deed they did in the last year to earn this. But for a while there, we were starting to feel that way about the Bucks too. I mean, they had so many guys in and out of the lineup, and, you know, there were times where it's like, do we have enough players to play? And this was even before the COVID thing hit. Or I should say re-engaged with to the degree that it is right now. So, you know, I would say more than anything, that's been the biggest challenge in terms of figuring out what are your rotations. And now the challenge becomes it's the opposite problem, and it's a problem every team wants to have, is for Mike Budenholzer, you know, Bud's got to figure out what is his rotation going to be? Who is he going to play together? How does he keep that rhythm going with all the different, you know, abundance of wealth? It almost feels like an embarrassment of riches with all the different options he can go to. The depth of this team is really remarkable, and I think we're going to start to see that manifest, assuming everybody stays on. But it's a good thing, because they needed that depth. You know, at the beginning of the season, I'm sitting here saying, this isn't necessarily what I signed on for, because you had all these guys out. But as you see them come together, it's pretty awesome to watch, and just some of the things that I don't think I had a true, I guess, appreciation for all that. You knew that Giannis Antetokounmpo was really amazing as an athlete and can do some amazing things, but I don't think I had a really true appreciation until I've been seeing him in person and all the things and the way he affects the game and makes everyone else around him better. I mean, that triple-double he had on Saturday night against the Pelicans wasn't just a triple-double. I mean, the fact that 10 of those shots, all 10 of his assists led to three-pointers, that's just something you don't see. And it's a tribute to the fact that he draws so much attention that everybody around him is so much more open and has so much more room to operate. It's just fun to watch.
You know, Dave, it's a joy to listen to, and it's really fun to watch as a Bucks fan too. When I first came to Wisconsin, and we just had a brief moment to chat off air, the Bucks were looked at as one of the worst teams in the NBA. Jabari Parker was still looked at as the next up-and-coming star with the Bucks, and I'll be fair, when I first saw Giannis take the court as an NBA player, I was still working in Vegas and thought, hey, if this guy's Nicholas Batum, when all is said and done, that would be a pretty decent comp. Giannis has turned into one of the best players of multiple generations. And you're right, that performance he had Saturday, it was breathtaking. Now, Giannis has elevated his game, in my estimation, in a couple of key ways this year. You mentioned that passing, Dave. The passing's always been something that Giannis has been good at. He's gotten better. But that mid-range game, and really, Dave, the confidence in that mid-range and the ability to step outside, take a three-pointer, the free throws, that was something that was going to come back. I never had my worries about that. But his improved mid-range and three-point shooting, or at least the confidence, Dave, to me, makes Giannis nearly unguardable. And if he's able to increase those percentages in that mid-range 5 or 7% in the next couple of years, and let's say that three-point percentage 4 to 5 in the next couple of years, Giannis is going to be one of the most, if not the most, unguardable players in the NBA for probably the next 5 to 6 years.
Yeah, and I think you can make the case he already is the most unguardable player. Maybe there's a couple guys you put in there. Obviously, Kevin Durant falls in that category too. But the thing that's often forgotten about Giannis is the fact that he's also an amazing defender.
Yes.
Coming into that last game, you look at his numbers at the rim, he was leading the NBA in terms of rim protection, in terms of opponent field goal percentage at the rim. That puts him ahead of guys like Rudy Gobert. You don't hear that as much. I mean, I think people have an appreciation for the fact that he's good on the other side, too. But, you know, unlike a Nikola Jokic, who, in my estimation, is one of the most fun players to watch in the NBA, Jokic is not that way on defense. He's a one-side-of-the-court kind of player, and he can do some amazing things there. But the fact that Giannis does it on both sides, and, yeah, if he becomes – if you talk 5 percentage points up in terms of his shooting mid-range and from three-point range – I think not only does he become, you know, the most unguardable player in the NBA, I think he becomes one of the most unguardable players that this game has ever seen at that juncture. I mean, that's the rarefied air I think you're starting to get into. I mean, I'll tell you this. Every once in a while, there are these moments in a game he gets, I think it was last week against Orlando in that first game, he was fouled at the free throw line, and he still finished it with a dunk. I mean, how many players in the NBA can get fouled at the free throw line and have an and one with a dunk at the line? It's just amazing. I mean, it's just, he does things that you wouldn't think are possible.
Well, Dave, there's one guy in the NBA that does it. It's Giannis Antetokounmpo, and that's why you're right when you mention that what Giannis has the potential to do as far as being the most dangerous and possibly most unguardable player in the league's history is right there in front of us. And we're talking with Dave Kane, the Bucks play-by-play announcer for the radio broadcast, that is, about Giannis right now. I think that Giannis, what he did last year in the NBA Finals and how the Bucks were able to work themselves out of a deficit to Atlanta, to Brooklyn, to the Suns, and the way that Giannis finished really put the league on notice that this guy wasn't going to be satisfied with being one- or two-dimensional. He was going to be a multifaceted champion, and that's something that the league should be really, really scared about because he is just, I mean, beginning to reach what would be considered his athletic prime. Now, Dave, while we've still got a couple of minutes with you, I wanted to get your thoughts on a couple of Bucks players because you've mentioned the sort of embarrassment of riches that Mike Budenholzer and this Bucks team is working with right now, but a couple of Bucks players that have been key additions, and I'm really hopeful that they stay a big part of this team. One of them is DeMarcus Cousins. The other one is Jordan Norwood. Now, Jordan Norwood was somebody I watched in the preseason and in summer league, you know, score 30 a game like it was going out of style. And I felt like he would be ready to take that next step. And he seemingly has, had 23 on Saturday. But DeMarcus Cousins, while he's not what he was years ago with Sacramento or with the Pelicans, is definitely an upgrade over most bigs that are just out there on the free agent scrap heap. Tell me, Dave, do you think the Bucks keep DeMarcus Cousins? Because I know they've got to guarantee his contract soon. And do you think that Jordan Norwell will continue to see some increased minutes, even though the rotation could be getting tighter?
Yeah, I think, first of all, relating to Cousins, I would be very surprised if they did not keep him. I think that he's earned that, you know, and I have no reason to believe that he hasn't fit in with the culture of this team. I mean, I think that's the other question. Does he fit in with the team? I mean, that's, and they do take that very seriously in this organization, this whole concept of Bucks DNA. You better accept your role. I mean, I guarantee the conversation was had when he was first brought in here. You need to be able to accept your role. It's going to be a lesser role on this team than it might be in other places or other times in your career. So assuming all those things line up, I would be surprised if they didn't keep him past that. I think it's January 8th is when his deal runs out. But and then, you know, the other, just for the simple reason, I think this team needs depth there at the big man position. So, you know, that stands to reason. But the other is in relation to Jordan Wara. Jordan was a guy that I actually had a chance to cover in college, too. So I saw what he was able to do. From the offensive end, this guy can fill it up. There's no two ways about it, particularly when he's feeling confident. I think for Jordan, the next step in his progression is extending his game beyond just scoring. So in other words, he's got to be able to facilitate the offense and know when to score, when to distribute, and when to find those times. And then obviously on the defensive side of things as well, because you're not going to play with the regularity if you can't play any defense under Mike Budenholzer. So I think all those things need to come together. Now, whether he's going to be a regular rotation guy moving forward, I still think he's going to be hard-pressed to be that guy this season. I just think that there's too much around him, and he would have to make too big of a leap. Now, if certain guys are missing, I think that Jordan becomes a really key option. I mean, you look at what he's done so far, I think his best games have come when Chris Middleton hasn't been playing, because then he's been afforded that opportunity. But, you know, the numbers line up. He's averaging better than 14 points and 6 rebounds a game in his 15 career games when Middleton's out of the lineup. So, you know, I think he's shown an ability to fill that void, but I'm just not sure he's ready to be there just yet on a regular basis. But time will tell. You know, growth happens in the season for all these guys, and obviously depending on what happens around them in terms of, you know, injuries and illness and all of those types of things that keep guys out, that'll be something to follow.
Yeah, it should be something to follow. And again, I'm just looking at Jordan Norwood as one of these players for the Milwaukee Bucks who don't have a ton of draft capital, Dave, because they've had to make some moves. The acquisition of Jrue Holiday, most notably, and because of that lack of overall draft capital, you need to find these gems, these Jordan Norwoods, somewhere in the second round. And that's exactly what they did. So I really like seeing his ascension. But the defense that you've mentioned there is something that I've heard a lot about with Jordan Orwa as far as a need-to-improve area. Now, coming up tonight, Dave, you'll be on the call again. Bucks hosting the Pistons, 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock will be the tip. Bucks are big favorites in this one, as they should be, by 16 points. Recently, Dave, they've just been rolling opponents. Their last two games, putting up 136 apiece. Do you anticipate much of the same tonight versus Detroit, who has lost, I think, 12 in a row to our Bucks?
Yeah, and Detroit's also been dealing with a number of challenges. Much like the Orlando Magic, they're a team that, as if they needed this extra headache, they've been dealing with some lineup challenges. I think it was 10 guys that were out due to protocols and all these different things the last time they played. However, you know, it's amazing getting ready for these games to take on a whole new element of challenge when you don't know who's going to be out there. You know, you got these guys being signed to 10-day contracts, and that's been the case with these hardship waivers. And, you know, not exactly household names when you're talking about guys like Micah Potter and Jayshon Page, players like that that are going to be out there. And even Justin Robinson, who we know from Bucks, his time at the Bucks, he's now on the Pistons, and we can expect to see him in an opposing jersey here tonight. But, yeah, I would think so. I think the Bucks have had a stretch here early this season where they play the easiest schedule in the NBA, and that does need to be mentioned because things are going to ratchet up quite a bit here moving forward starting later this week. So the Bucks will go to Brooklyn, and then they go off to play the Charlotte Hornets in back-to-back games. So, you know, that's going to be a more standard week moving forward than what they've experienced. And then you return home, you see Golden State next week, and we're going to see a lot more stretches like that. And from my own perspective, personally, I'm looking forward to it, candidly, seeing some of those more high-profile matchups. But I think that easier part of the schedule has fallen at a good time for this group when they've been dealing with some of the injuries and the absences that we were talking about.
Yeah.
It allowed them to be in a position they are with 25 wins. But, yeah, I think I feel pretty good about this one going into this tonight, assuming that the Bucks have all the weapons that they think they will, even though there are going to be a number of guys returning from protocols, it looks like, for the Pistons tonight.
Yeah, I wouldn't really concern myself too much. Pistons are still a very young team. I know Dwayne Casey's a good coach, and there's definitely some talent there, but I don't think there's nearly enough to actually hold up with Milwaukee, who, again, in their last two games has averaged 136 points. They're on a six-game win streak and good for third best in the Eastern Conference right now. Dave, it's been an absolute joy having you on the program this morning. I really hope that we can schedule one of these again in the future, but this evening we'll all be looking forward to hearing you on the call again, 7 o'clock tip on WKTY, buddy. It's been great bringing you on, at least for the very first time, to the morning program.
Thanks, Dave. I'll look forward to some more chats here in the future. Appreciate you having me on. Have a good one. Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you, too. Thanks so much. Dave Kahan, the new radio play-by-play voice of our Milwaukee Bucks, who, again, are taking on the Pistons tonight, 6:30 pregame coverage and 7 o'clock tip. Just a really fun opportunity to get ourselves introduced and acquainted with our new radio play-by-play voice. Again, that's Dave Kahan taking over for the legendary Ted Davis. We're going to step aside. Final time this morning.